Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matty G Digital.
Alrighty, today we are talking about Christmas bonuses and overall compensation and bonuses. But the idea of this episode just came from, you know, can be close to Christmas time when this originally airs, and just talk about what sort of Christmas bonuses means for small business. What do you think about that?
The classic Christmas bonus is the Jelly of the Month Club, which was
how long ago was that?
Like 2 decades ago? And now how big are those subscription boxes? Not Jelly of the Month, but like every different industry has a subscription box now. The Jelly of the Month Club was the OG subscription box.
Awesome. I love it. Well, that would be a great bonus, actually. Like,
I think it'd be wicked.
Jelly month, you know, candy maybe, all sorts of different subscriptions. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's a great reference to make, right? And all the chaos that caused. And I think what was, you know, the premise of that conflict in the movie, Christmas Vacation, that we are referencing and talking about, just shows the lack of clarity and expectation that could go along with things like Christmas bonus and how that just relates to overall compensation and bonuses. And I think it becomes extra difficult for small businesses who may not have clear and strict plans and timelines. So, you know, what do you do about it? So,
yeah, people expecting a bonus at Christmas is one thing. I can understand if you're used to that, that if you did not receive one year, that would, for lack of a better word, suck. You shouldn't ever expect it though. Like I used to get Christmas bonuses from, one employer for sure. And it was pretty consistent. It was like a good bonus. It wasn't enough to buy me a pool though, which I've never understood with that movie.
That's baby boomers in the 80s.
Yeah, it was a good bonus. It was like over a grand. Maybe it was more than that. Maybe it was like 2.5 the first year. 1 year was over a grand, but it fluctuated because I believe it was, again, based on profits, or that's what they told you. But in actuality, here it's a little bit different. Anyways, I never expected it. I thought it'd be a cool thing to get. If you expect it, that could be problematic. You're probably not getting paid enough. But then also, Clark's doing just fine in that movie. If his expectation was not, I need to put food on my table, he needed that bonus because he bought a pool. And again, how big was that bonus supposed to be? That's something that's bothering me now for like 10 years because I'm always like, I want to know how much a pool was back then, B, how much was the bonus? That's crazy that you're getting a bonus big enough for a pool. What's a pool worth now? Like 30, 40, 50 grand? How much was a pool back then? Like a grand, 2 grand?
I love like there's so much to unpack in that rant right there. Because I think it also, you know, shows the difference in culture in terms of like, the other part was like, what? He had money in his account for that? Like now people would just use their like homeowner line of credit or finance.
Yeah, that's true.
That big in-ground pool, like I know someone who was looking at a really fancy like backyard pool landscaping, and it was going to be like an $80,000 project, right? I think obviously back then it was different. Also, they were in Chicago. I was going to say we're in Canada and it's with winter and it's different than pools and year round environments, but they were, you know, in a tough spot too in that movie, but yeah, definitely expensive, very large bonus, very large, shock if it gets canceled. And I think A couple things to break down in your rant is one is it a Christmas bonus or is it a performance bonus as part of a compensation package delivered at Christmas time?
Sure.
And I think sometimes that's the case. Some people just do it as like a random, hey, it's Christmas, like Santa's coming, here's a random gift, and it can fluctuate based on the mood of the business owner
Right.
year to year. And I've been in a business that was definitely like that. If that person had a bad day right before, then no one got anything, or they got something and there was some strings attached. One time we got like a fairly mediocre bonus with a letter about how this should motivate you to perform better and work longer hours. Which is a story for another time, and maybe not for public.
Quick summary is employers are the worst.
It was a place I'm no longer working, and
We once didn't get a work Christmas party that happened every year, and it was big and it was huge because the owner and his family were going to South Africa for a wedding, like a big family wedding. But because of this, no one in the company got like the big Christmas party. It didn't even have to be a big Christmas party. It could have just been like a little holiday Christmas party, whatever. But nothing.
That's interesting. And I think you have to be aware of that as a small business owner, of like how you're making those decisions and communicating that. I had early on in my banking career, I remember a client came in. And it was around the financial crash, and some of their investments had gone down, like personal investments. And they were like, well, I guess the crew's not getting any bonuses this year, even though they had had their record profit year for the business. He was like, just not feeling as good because his personal investments had taken a bit of a dip. And I
Brutal.
remember as the employer was like, well, that's a dumb reason to give a bonus if it's based on how well your mutual funds perform in your retirement account. Like it should be based on your
Wild.
business. And I think they went ahead with like bonusing, but it was, a good in like a good story. And I've seen it with some consultant reports and talking to people in compensation. Just about the lack of clarity around that. So, as an employee, you work for a business owner. Like, is your bonus just based on how they feel that day? Is your Christmas party, if you have one, not everyone does, and some people do like, a takeout lunch, other people do like a big bash, right? And it's not the same at every workplace. And some people do a big night out and it is expensive and it's like, a bonus. It
Yeah.
just feels a bit different because you're, sort of choosing the celebration.
Yeah, it all depends. Like I've been at work functions where we've had a big Christmas party and then we've had like three different lunches around Christmas, like another potluck, a department lunch, and then like a friend lunch. And I've never thought about it to right now that you're right. In all the cases, none of them were tied to contract or salary or anything. They were always just like, hey, this is something nice that we want to do for you. I guess the problem ends up being expectation. When you're like, we do this Christmas party every year, and then all of a sudden it's gone for no apparent reason, that just doesn't sit well with people. It makes them start to realize, that's when people start to realize that employers suck, right? That they're kind of just making it up as they go. It is a gut thing. Like I got out of bed, my wife, that old ball and chain sure was mean to me today. Someone's getting fired. Or you know what I mean? It's all erratic.
I think there's a couple things. One is the like endowment effect, right? So once we have something and it gets taken away, it hurts more than if you never had it in the first place, right? So that's a big thing to monitor as well. And that's again where clarity could be like, you can easily be like, hey, everyone, thanks for an amazing year. We decided, you know, to do a better Christmas party this year to help celebrate it. And you don't have to get into the nuances of it, but you know, there's some taxation reasons for that. Like, if I was like, oh, here's an extra $300, you might think after tax, like, it's not that great of a bonus, or just blends in. But, you know, $300 on a night out can go a long way. And it also really helps build culture of your organization to have those memories and stories and time together at a party. So there could be reasons to do that, and you just have to communicate those.
Yeah, and maybe that is the problem. Maybe that's communication. And going back to that one business where everyone's waiting for the Christmas party. Do I make plans on this weekend in December? I don't want to be the guy that doesn't show up to the Christmas party. It's just all about communication. It's communication with everybody. I remember years ago, I work still today exclusively with contractors for a lot of reasons. Maybe it's because I'm so cynical about employers that I don't ever want to be that sucky employer. Maybe that's what my therapist would say. But I remember years ago, like around Christmas, thinking I want to do something for, at the time, it was only two contractors. I remember just asking them, like, do you guys want money for Christmas? Or do you want like a proper gift that I've like thought out or whatever? I think every year I've ended up doing gifts. They're like something that's somewhat thought out. No, it's not somewhat. It's thought out. It's very thought out. And I think that goes a long way. But it also, there's a bit of pressure to make sure, like, you have to do this kind of like every year now. It has to be this way. With the Starting Point, the contractors, this is like the first Christmas with Starting Point. But, and it's a very different system and ecosystem and everything. Like, it's all contractors, again, for a reason. But like, I'm getting them all together for a holiday dinner and getting all the contractors and their partners, if they want to bring them, for a dinner. I've also now realized this is something in the back of my head. Like, I've not communicated that I'm paying for this dinner when I don't want people to think that they have to pay for it. And then maybe they'll be chintzy and they're not going to eat, order what they want. But I don't want to be like a hero and be like, guys, just so you know, I'm going to pay for this dinner and like just eat a big hero cookie or whatever.
You should be clear about that. Like, that right? Goes a long way too. Because a lot of people might not assume that. Because I think especially younger people who haven't been in workplaces, you know, might not know that, oh, by the way, you have to pay for this.
Does it make me look like a jerk at all, where I'm just like kind of flexing?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you're not going to see steak by and getting $1,000 gold-plated steaks. I don't think. You haven't told me anything about this. I think it's reasonable, you know, and it's reasonable to set expectations. Like, I had an employer once who were like, hey guys, you know, we're doing this. We'll buy everyone, you know, two beer, or two glasses of wine, but like, we're not doing trays of shots. Like, if you want to do that, that's on your own dime, right? Or if you want to drink 10 beers because this is like your night out and that's what you do, then, you know, you're paying for eight of them. So setting at reasonable expectations, I think, is acceptable.
I have more follow-up questions, but I won't do this right now. Bottom line is, I will communicate that with them. I've never thought about this whole drinking shots thing. No one's going to do that, actually. But anyways, it's worth considering.
I was going to say, I know some of your contractors and I've overheard some really funny stories. So I wouldn't say nobody's going to do that.
Touche. Those people will be text messaged this afternoon.
Yeah.
But then there's like external pressure, but there is a bit of, I don't know if it is pressure. I'm trying to think of a different word, but now every year I feel like that has to be done or it needs to be communicated. Right.
And I think too, so this is the other part where, yeah, communicated. I think it's an opportunity as well. I touched on a bit to build a culture of the organization and plan that in. So like, if you want to be known as the guy who has a cool contractor dinner for your team, then you need to create a like a budget line item for that and plan for it. And that could be, you know, it's not necessarily a bonus, but it's an event that maybe is kind of like a bonus, or you have a, you know, percentage of profit that goes to like the reward pool. And maybe you change the types of rewards, or you increase and decrease them based on results. But there's, you know, something there. It's baked in to the structure of your business.
Yeah, I did kind of cheap out, because at first I was like, I'm going to do this for everyone that I work with, like all the contractors and with Managee Digital too. And then I did the list of Managee Digital. I was like, ooh, that's a lot of people. And I scaled it right back. I was like, just the people within Starting Point that are there, like in the grind every day.
Yeah, and that's okay. Again, set boundaries. You can have the wish list of like, again, what's the long-term plan? I'm in a coaching group with Greg Evans Professional Corporation. We work with accountants internationally. They're really big on setting big rewards. There is a firm in Australia that they set their aggressive goal every year. And if they hit it, they do a 1 week international trip for the whole team.
Yeah.
And they've gone to Las Vegas, New Orleans. They've gone to Europe in the past. But it's very aggressive. And if they don't hit it, they don't go. So there's not like a consolation prize. It's like, we will hit this goal and we're all going to Vegas for a week. And it's awesome. And that's sort of part of the culture of that firm. And like, who wouldn't want to work there, right? Like, if you're like, hey, I hear these guys get to go and do this, like, you know, that's also some sort of marketing and recruitment as well. I think, you know, the other thing to make important is it doesn't necessarily have to be at Christmas time either for some businesses. I think that's partly why I wanted to put this episode out around Christmas, because a lot of people, you know, operate by the calendar year. They feel like that's the time. But you could have a business where, you know, the general flow of the year and even your corporate year end could be spring, it could be summer. And that's where, you know, bonusing and could come. Or you might do it quarterly, on a quarterly basis, and have, you know, more frequent bonuses based purely on performance and profitability.
That would be challenging cash flow wise, wouldn't it be?
It's not necessarily. So again, depending on your business, you might have performance bonuses based on specific metrics. So you'd have to have the ability to track that. And it's also an incentive for everyone to track their activities and inputs and drive that profitability so that they know, hey, we want to meet our bonus threshold. And another thing I wanted to sort of get into the episode is there's no blueprint for this. I have a lot of small businesses who are like, oh, I'd like to, you know, give bonuses or have an incentive structure, but I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And the real answer is everybody's completely different and you have to find one that makes sense for you. And the amounts could be wildly different as well. You know, some businesses might say, let's put away 10% of revenue for a bonus pool. And others are like, whoa, that's insane. Like maybe it's 1% or less.
Yeah, it would be interesting kind of to sort all that out. I just keep wondering, when and why did Christmas bonuses become a thing? To your point, like why Christmas? I wonder if it's not shady, but it's employers and people like myself, even like business owners, are like, let's double up rewards for year end and Christmas together.
Yeah, I think it's like, again, cultural gift giving. And it probably, you know, was a time where it just worked out for people to do that. Could go back to Scrooge time if you're a fan of the Christmas Carol, and you know, giving the, I think of the Muppet Christmas Carol and giving the bookkeepers an extra shovel of coal for the bookkeeping fireplace to keep them a little bit warmer that day. Like that is, just a typical tradition. Again, some people do both. When I worked at the Bank of Montreal, we had no budget for Christmas parties. Our branch actually did a internal like monthly 50-50 draw scheme that raised money for our Christmas party. We self-funded ourselves. But 0 corporate dollars, and people think, oh, a big massive corporation, you probably would reward your employees for something, but that was not the case. At the same time, it also was when we did get bonuses, and because the bank year ends are October 31st every year, so the year, fiscal year end would happen, and then by the time they got all the numbers in and analyzed, it would work out that you would receive it kind of the pay before Christmas. But it was more just the way the cash and numbers worked. And they had a very strict structure based on profitability of the bank and your area and your branch and sort of a set bonus pool. And then like this multipliers based on your performance to sort of have a formula for how that was determined. Which is, maybe more complicated than what small businesses would do. But there was definitely a very set, like you could get zero bonus. You could get the best bonus of your career that you would only get once, sort of during that time. But it wasn't really because of Christmas.
Bonus insinuates to me that you walk in and your employer is like, hey, here's some money. And that's it, right? Anything else, it shouldn't even be called a bonus. If their incentives or their milestones and goals that you're supposed to hit, it shouldn't even be called a bonus. It's part of what has been agreed upon based on performance. It's a performance, it's reward? No, it's performance compensation.
Yeah, it's interesting because yeah, it could be a structured, bonus. I don't know if there's any sort of legal or tax terms about, what's a commission versus what's a bonus versus what's your salary versus hourly rate. But some people do have just that bonus structure that maybe includes all of those things, and it's something that's not guaranteed. It could be based maybe on factors within your control and out of your control. So, for example, at Bank of Montreal, in theory, if they didn't make any profits, that bonus pool could be zero. So whether or not you had the best year of your life or not,
Yeah.
anything multiplied by zero was still a zero. Whereas other years, there was times where you might not have had a good year, but maybe your branch had an amazing year. And you got a higher multiplier just based on the rules that were set that year. So it wasn't expected. So it would be, I guess, a bit of a bonus. And then most small businesses, it's based on, yeah, how the employer feels that day, which again, could be good, might not be good.
Probably not going to be good. It's probably going to be jelly of the month.
Yeah. Or just, I remember reading this line sticks to me. It was a small business, rapidly growing. Staff loved working there. They had had a consultant sort of come in and do a report on their business, interviewed staff, a bunch of different things. And the line that sticks out to me was like, the staff are very happy and grateful for their bonuses, which are generous. But it's confusing because they have no idea where that number came from and like how to sustain it. And I think in those cases, it was like thousands of dollars. So it's like if you're making, okay money, but then you get a pretty giant bonus compared to your overall salary, like you want to repeat that the next year and find out how to do that. And if there's no roadmap of how to do that again, then that's hard to come back from, to go from you know, $5,000 a year, you know, $0 with like no explanation why.
Yeah, it's all communication. We should just rename this communication.
Yeah, it's all communication, structure, having a plan. A lot of people don't have a plan, or they change it based on their own sort of whims. But I think it's important to have that clarity, to set expectations, you know, to do things that build culture in your organization, to do things as well that maybe impact compensation or top up compensation. You know, if you're asking people to do, you know, $25 an hour work and you're paying them $22 an hour, but the market's higher, but you come through with a bonus that's worth, you know, either evens them up or gets them a bit ahead because everything worked out, you know, then that's, I think, a strategy to use as well. So you have to think about it, take it seriously, not be random about it as much as possible. Yeah, any other thoughts on that? We've covered a lot of ground on this episode.
The paying of the bonus, or whatever we want to call it, doesn't sound very complicated. It's just setting up a proper structure, like you said, to have that consistency, which you need to find a who for, in my opinion. So,
yeah, and that's, again, another one, figuring it out. I think you have to be part of it. You need a framework to follow. You might need to test some stuff out. But, you know, just do something. Pick something, go for it, adjust it if you need to. But either way, clarity is key. And at the end of the day, you're building a business, you're building a culture. You want to build your business with people, and you want to attract those people. So having good clarity, good compensation, bonuses, events that build culture are all going to be those things that help make a great, great business. All right. If you want to talk about this with us or get our opinion on your bonus structure, we'd love to do that. We can help you start, grow, or recharge your business. Reach out to us at setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.